Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's wonderful to be here tonight. And we're going to sing for a while. And after that, we're going to study the Word. But before we do anything, we're going to pray. I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee that Thou hast brought us here. And we pray, O God, that there would be a move of Thy Spirit here tonight. We ask that Thy presence would be here, that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst have Thy perfect way here tonight, Lord, and that Thou wouldst move upon us, guide us and direct us, preside over this entire service, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we start with number 143, we have come into this house. We have come into this house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. To have His way tonight here in this place with us. Yeah. So why don't we go to number 13 and sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. While I am waiting, Him who can make us what we ought to be. Why don't we go to number 47 and sing that chorus right now? Lord, make me what I ought to be.
Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more loved. Thy face I see, make me what I want to be. Lord, make me what I want to be. Help me to be more like Thee. What I ought to be.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. And not only can the Lord make us what we ought to be, but He's the one who gives us our strength to do the things we need to do. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 48, They That Wait Upon the Lord.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew.
Doesn't just give you strength, but He also pours out His Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Why don't we go to number 4 and sing, There Is a River.
Drawing from above.
From that river and be filled with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we come before thee tonight, thanking thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. Thanking thee for thy love. Thanking thee for thy care. Thanking thee for thy blessings. Thanking thee for thy sustaining power. For we know it is only by thy mercy and thy grace that we are here tonight. And we thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done for us. And we ask, O God, for the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for the cause of thy name, for the sake of thy kingdom. And we ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to open the hymnals now. And Mom was playing this song before we started, and it just seems like a wonderful song to sing. Number 293, Take the Name of Jesus With You. 293 in the hymnal.
Oh, how sweet, oh, how sweet.
Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at His feet. King of kings in heaven will crown Him when our journey is complete. Precious sweet hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name. Oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Wonderful name of Jesus. Yes. You know, that is our only hope.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, with that thought in mind, we will turn this over to Shirley. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Good to see you, Diane. Hope you're feeling better. Praise the Lord. Our God is good, you know, and sometimes it's by faith. You know, sometimes, you know, you just have to say, Lord, I'm just going to do it, and you're going to help me. I believe, you know, by faith, you know, it's going to be well. It's going to help us. Oh, amen. And praise the Lord. And thank you, Jesus. No, we are really privileged to be here tonight. I just thank God, you know, we really couldn't have too much church in reality. You know, these times of gathering together in the name of the Lord, it is very precious. You know, I know when I was a girl, we often had revival services, and you know, that meant that we were going to be in church every night that whole week, except maybe sometimes I think we rested on Mondays, and otherwise, you know, it was night after night after night. But, you know, it was wonderful because something happens when you keep on gathering like that. Your faith begins to build. And, you know, your expectations of the Lord begin to grow. You know, and the Lord begins to work. And, you know, the Word starts growing in our hearts. And, you know, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful that we have these opportunities here to gather. And I don't know exactly all that's going to happen in the near future, but we are hoping, you know, we have some dear folks coming from England. They're going to spend a month over here, and, you know, I believe Brother Chung, and I think Sister Sharon is going to come. I believe Brother Tim, and I'll tell you what, I think we're going to have time. You know, we're going to let the Lord move, and I don't know, there may be others that are able to join us, and we're just looking for the Lord to do something because We are in those perilous times, like no other time, I dare say. And you know, so many people are asleep. They're lethargic. They're not believing what is going on in this world. Or, you know, they're trying to be optimistic in spite of what is apparent. But, you know, praise the Lord. You know, if we ever needed to be strengthened by the Lord, it's now. If we ever needed to grow close to Him, it's now. Because I know one thing. There's an open door right at this moment. But one day soon, that door is going to close. Just like the ark door closed one day. You know, those people there were not expecting that ark to do anything. I believe they must have ridiculed and mocked it all those many years that Noah was building it and thought it was the greatest joke perhaps that they'd ever seen. But I'll tell you what, God meant what He said. He said He was going to bring rain. He was going to bring a flood. And He told Noah to build that ark and to get into it. And, you know, to bring those animals in. And praise the Lord, it was in Noah's heart to do that. He had that kind of faith. He had that kind of trust in God. And that good sense to obey God. And just as it rained, that world was destroyed by water. But this world is also going to be destroyed. And this time it's going to be by fire. And that's His destination. And oh wow, we would do well to give heed. We would do well to listen while we can, because the door of opportunity is going to close one day. It's going to close, regardless of what people think, no matter if they're laughing and mocking and thinking it's the funniest thing they ever heard, and thinking, oh wow, it doesn't matter, because, you know, God loves everybody anyway, you know, or, you know, it doesn't matter if we're doing this or doing that, you know, He's going to excuse it. Oh, come on. I'll tell you what, He's a holy God. People are not going to be able to look at Him with sin in their life. There's no way. You know, there's no way. You know, Moses could, you know, he was told that he couldn't look at the face of God and live. And how could anybody, unless we are changed, and we're only going to be changed if we received the Spirit of God in our lives. And that corruptible puts on incorruptible. Praise the Lord. You know, praise the Lord, how we need the Lord here tonight. We sure do need Him. He's our hope. He's our stay. And we're not going to be able to look at a holy God if there's sin in our lives. That's right. But you know what? We have opportunity tonight. We have opportunity to repent, to get right, to draw nigh to God, to get close to Him, to hear His voice. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful opportunity. He's given that to us. It's, you know, sometimes it's a last chance. You don't know sometimes when you're ministering to somebody, they may not have much time left. I've seen that happen more than once. Oh, yes, I have. You don't know. You just don't know. But we would do well to fear the Lord and get right with Him tonight. Amen. To turn to Him with all our heart, mind, soul, strength. Amen. To listen to a still small voice. We're going to pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this opportunity, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us the words of life, God, that breathe into our souls. Oh, God, that Heavenly Spirit that You sent down on the day of Pentecost and promised to all those that believe, Lord. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Oh, we thank You, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord. I pray, O Lord, that You would work in our hearts tonight. O God, that You would break down the strongholds, God, the resistance, O God, the things that hinder people, O God, to seek to destroy faith, God, to keep them blind, walking, O God, in the blindness of this world. And I pray, O God, that You would work in our hearts, Lord, that You would revive us. O God, that You'd make us whole, Lord God, that You'd get us ready for the great and terrible day of the Lord. O God, that we can stand before You one day and hear You say, well done. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that You would help us here tonight, Lord. Everyone that's listening online, oh God, who will ever hear this recording, Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts. Oh God, that You'd cause conviction, Lord Jesus, that You'd help us to get ready, help us to get right with You, Lord. Oh God, we come to You, Lord. We ask You, Lord. Oh God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, that there would be a call that comes forth. Oh Lord, a call. Oh God, that you'd call forth tonight, Lord, unto eternal life, that you'd call forth to stand at the door. Oh Lord, and knock at the hearts. Oh Lord, of the individuals that need so desperately to receive you. Oh Lord, you know how to do it, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd work, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh God, that you'd work. Oh Lord, oh God, and I pray that you'd use me, oh God, that you'd give me words. Oh Lord, that you speak through me, Lord, and oh God, that you give us ears to hear. Oh God, eyes to see, oh God, a mind to perceive, oh God, direction, oh Lord, to know and do thy will, to make us what we ought to be in you, Jesus. Oh God, to help us to get to that higher ground, oh Lord, to strive for the mastery, oh Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh God, hear this cry. Oh Lord, talk to our hearts. Oh God, stir us, Lord Jesus, stir us. Oh Lord, get us ready for that great and final day. Oh Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, God. We're going to go to one small verse to begin here. It's Psalms 46, verse 10. We'll start with that verse. And I'm going to call this, "The Heathen Shall Know." The heathen shall know. Praise the Lord. Psalms 46, verse 10. Short little verse here. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Oh, praise the Lord. We serve Almighty God. And regardless of what people might think at this point, in what condition they may be in, there is going to be a day when they are going to know who the true and only God is. They're going to know it. You know, every eye is going to see him. Oh, yes, they that pierced him. And, oh, wow, they're all going to wail because of him. They're going to suddenly know who he is when he comes in those clouds. Oh, praise the Lord. And how important it will be to be right at that moment. Oh, so important. And oh, I'm praying that person that needs to get right with the Lord will do so tonight. Oh my, that soul will make haste to receive the living God. Oh, for it is expedient. It is so necessary. "Be still and know that I am God." Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity tonight. We're going to go to Ezekiel. We're going to be studying a good portion of the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. And oh, praise the Lord. I pray that this will be a blessing here tonight and the Lord will show us things. Praise the Lord. The heathen shall know. We'll start at verse 16 here as we began. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way, and by their doings, their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman." Wow, he's going back to that example there. Israel, the called out ones, the church in the wilderness. Oh my, the ones that had the privilege of being the apple of God's eye. The ones that had received the promises, the laws, the covenant.
What chapter?
It's Ezekiel 36. Yes, you're welcome. Those that had received the covenant had defiled their own way, their doings. And in God's sight, it was obviously hard to bear. He was saying, this is the 17th verse here. that they were as the uncleanness of a removed woman, a woman who had been caught in adultery or fornication and been removed because of that. And God loathed all that. But that was the condition of his people at this point, as Ezekiel is prophesying. And he's telling how that was. You know, in Deuteronomy, it tells how special God's people were to be to him. The seventh chapter of Deuteronomy tells us how that they were to be a holy people. I'm looking at the sixth verse at the moment. Deuteronomy 7, they were to be a holy people unto the Lord. And God had chosen them above all other people. They were to be a special people unto himself. It says, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And, you know, he's telling them here, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But it says, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And of course, he had special expectations of these people. You know, it tells us earlier, you know, that he's going to take them to the land of Canaan, and you know that they were going to possess it, and nations that were greater and stronger and more number than them were going to be cast out. They were going to smite them, and they were to utterly destroy them and defeat them, and to never make any covenants with them, neither to give any of their sons or daughters unto them in marriage. And they were to never to turn away from following the Lord or to serve any other gods. And the warning was that the anger of the Lord would be kindled against them greatly if they would, and they would be destroyed. And verse 5 in this chapter says, but thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. We go to Deuteronomy 26, a few pages. Beyond that there, we look at verse 18. It tells us that, and the Lord had avouched or affirmed or acknowledged thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. And verse 19 here, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made, in praise, in a name, and in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Oh yes, he had called them out, and they were to be his own people. They were to bring forth his praises, just as the Church of the Living God is also a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, when past times were not a people, but are now the people of God. Oh, what wonderful blessings the Lord gives his people. And praise the Lord now with the church, the spiritual Israel that the Lord has chosen as his own peculiar treasure at this point as a holy nation. And so it was with old Israel. They were to be special. God had called them out, not because they were a great number, but he had somehow put his love especially upon them so that they would be his own particular children. But it tells us back in Ezekiel, they defiled it by their own way, that covenant that he'd given them, by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. And then it says in verse 18, therefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. Oh, I'll tell you what, I know we live in a land that's polluted today. Oh, with a lot of ugly things, but it's beyond the physical pollutions. Oh, the pollution of sin is the greatest abomination of all. And they had worked up God's fury, his wrath against them, because they had polluted that land with the blood that they had shed, the blood of the innocent souls that they had shed upon the land, and the idols that they had taken up and worshipped. Oh, they had polluted the land terribly. And so because of this, God had scattered them among the heathen. They were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. And you know, it really was something, because God tried. You know, he sent forth prophets to warn them. You know, he brought them forth out of Egypt and gave them a man named Moses to lead them. A man that was in tune with God and that listened to God. And he would chastise them when they were in trouble, when they disobeyed, and you know, when they rebelled. But even that didn't do any good. They just kept on going in their evil, wicked, nasty ways, their abominations. The rebuke hadn't worked, so God gave them over to another nation. Yes, he let the 10 northern tribes be taken by the Assyrians, and then years following, he let the 2 southern tribes be taken over by the Babylonians. They were judged according to their doings, according to their ways. Verse 20 tells us, and when they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name. Oh, we sang a song about the precious name of Jesus. Oh, and what a name it is. But these people who had belonged to the Lord profaned the holy name of God when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of the land. You know, they did so terribly in representing God. And we, as God's children, are his ambassadors. We represent the kingdom of God. You know, we're a light unto this world if we're living for God. But if we're living in sin and doing the ways of the heathen, and if we've not changed from our evil past, then there's no light in us. There's no light that the people can see. There's no example. And we are an embarrassment to God. These people of Israel were an embarrassment to God because they were living in sin. They were living in heathen practices and doing the same ways that the others had done, and observing times and seasons, involved in all kinds of witchcraft and all kinds of idolatry. They were an embarrassment to God. Well, I'll tell you what, I have a feeling that in this very day that we're living in, there's a lot of people that claim the name of Christ and truly are an embarrassment to God. You know, Matthew 7, verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Surprise, huh? So many people think that, you know, they're all right because maybe they repeated the sinner's prayer or something once upon a time. Or maybe they went to church for a little while or something, you know, and made some kind of confession maybe at one moment. But it says here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22 here in Matthew 7 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I'll tell you what, God does not wink at sin. He doesn't wink at it at all. It's not supposed to be the life of Christians. You know, these things have I written unto you that ye sin not, as it tells us in 1 John. But thank God, if any man sin, we have advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And I thank God for that. But I'll tell you what, if we find ourselves slipping, we better get back. We better catch ourselves. We better get right back, knowing that the Lord will forgive us, but he does not want us to continue in our sins. Oh, wow. Titus 1:16 talks about how they profess that they know me, but in works they deny me, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Oh, I tell you what, I have a feeling that's a condition of very many people. You know, that supposed 71% of people that say that they are Christians in this land, I'll tell you what, it's a farce. That's not true. Like Brother Samuel said when he was preaching that one Sunday, you know, if that was the case, this nation would be different than it is right now. We wouldn't have fallen to all these snares and pits. Oh my, the Lord would have heard us as we cried out to him and had mercy on us all before we were overtaken in the snare and in the pit. But there are many. Oh, everyone that nameth the name of Christ is to depart from iniquity. Oh yes, the Lord knows them that are his, but let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh, the Lord hates sin. He does not bear it. He does not bear it. And here, old Israel here, back in Ezekiel, they had profaned the holy name of God. They had defiled it. They had debased it. They had degraded it. They had made it unholy by their actions. And here they were, you know, the heathen, the pagans around them, looking at them, well, these are the people of the Lord, and they were probably doing the same things that they were doing, that the heathen were doing. Oh, here they are, but there was no light in them, there was no example, there was no truth, they were despicable because they were in sin. They had profaned God's holy name. And it tells us in verse 21, God says, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whether they went. They had disgraced his name. They had profaned it. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake. Oh, that name which is above all other names, that name of Jesus. Oh, yes. And that day is coming. We all are going to acknowledge that name and bow before the one whose name that is. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's going to happen. There's going to be that recognition at that point. They're going to know who the true God of Israel is, who the Messiah was and is. They're going to know on that day. But oh wow, what a pathetic thing, you know. Oh my, it's really something, because you know, I believe we'll see it. Israel shall cry, O Lord, we know thee. I believe that's in the book of Hosea. I think it's above the 8th chapter there. Israel shall cry, by God, we know thee. But Israel hath cast off a thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue them. Again, you know, there it is again. people not recognizing that the Spirit of God is not in them, recognizing that they have departed, that they're in sin, and that they're not right in God's sight. And oh, wow, if they don't get right, there's going to be that moment where He's going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." But here it tells us back in Ezekiel 36, for His own name's sake, He was going to make Himself known. Yes, His people had profaned His name among the heathen wherever they went. How pathetic. How pathetic in verse 22 there. But 23 says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord." Oh, yes, the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. And because God had a plan, yes, He had allowed them to go into Babylon. He allowed them to be carried away by the Assyrians and carried off into all parts of the known world. But there was going to be a regathering. There was going to be a calling back. And how beautiful it was. Verse 24 says, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you unto your own land." The Lord bringing them back again, regathering His people. In such a time as it was, it says in verse 25, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you." And praise the Lord, there was a new covenant that the Lord was going to bring forth. There was a new calling that He was going to bring forth, and it would be symbolic. There would be a washing of water by the Word that He would allow. And it, as it says in 1 Peter, the third chapter, that the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. And praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing. We can be cleansed. We can be clean. We can go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins and know that those sins have been taken care of in those wonderful waters of baptism. Oh yes, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done that He has saved us, but it's by His mercy that He has saved us. Oh, praise the Lord, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we are going to be so happy on that day when we meet the Lord that we went down into those waters of baptism for the remission of sin. In the name of Jesus Christ, taking that name upon ourselves, that wonderful privilege that we had after we died out to our old man, after we died out to our sins, that privilege of going down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh yes, in the Old Testament, Aaron and his sons were commanded to wash in that laver before they entered in to that holy place, that they were told that they wash in the waters, lest they die. They wouldn't have done that. They would have died. They wouldn't have heeded that warning. If they would have tried to go in there dirty, they would have died. Now I'll tell you what, can we disregard baptism in the name of Jesus Christ? Can we disregard it? I don't think we better. It's for the remission of sins. And it's an answer of a good conscience toward God, which is going to mean everything when we stand before Him. So here is foretelling here in Ezekiel 36, Verse 25 again, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Oh, what a wonderful thing when the Lord takes that filthy, ugly sin from our lives, all the things that we could not do of ourselves, and he gives us hope. And not only does he do that, not only does he clean us from our filthiness, but in verse 26 it says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Oh, a stony, resistant heart that couldn't hear, that couldn't understand, that didn't want to change. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord can take that stony heart, oh, and break it up. Oh, yes, that hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces, that knocks at our door and bids to come in. Oh, that wonderful Spirit of God that talks to our heart. Oh, yes, he gave us a way that we could be acceptable in his sight, that he would put his Spirit within us, giving us a new heart and a new spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what he has done and what opportunity he's given us. Oh, there he was on the cross. And he gave up the ghost, didn't he? Because he was going to give that ghost to his people. He was going to put his spirit in his people. And what a wonderful opportunity he was making for those that he would call out of this world. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, speaks of this. Oh, and what a chapter this is. It talks about how Jesus, in verse 12, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Oh yes, that day is coming, and he'll make his enemies his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified, those that are made holy, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it tells us in verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, and this is from Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And praise the Lord, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Praise the Lord. And it says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Oh no, the shedding of bulls and goats will not take care of sins. I don't care how many heifers, you know, that people may have, maybe red heifers that they may have in the land of Israel. Those red heifers are not going to take care of sin. That's not going to rid the world of sin. No. There's only one offering that was made that takes away sin. And it tells us clearly, now the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. It's over. It's finished. Jesus completed it. He gave up the ghost. He completed it. He fulfilled the scripture. He laid down his life once and for all. A final act that was done to bring us to Christ, to restore those things that were lost, to give us that fellowship that we needed with him. And yes, that we might receive his spirit, that the Holy Ghost might come down and fill our hearts, and that we might be his sons and daughters. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 20 here, by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, all those waters of baptism again, and our bodies washed with pure water. Praise the Lord for that. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Oh, yes, he poured out of his Spirit. Of course, oh, when Jesus was on earth, he talked about the Holy Ghost that should come forth, that Spirit of the living God that should come forth. Yes, there in John, the 7th chapter, the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, praise the Lord, rivers of living water. And then it tells us clearly, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Because that Jesus was not yet glorified, it could not yet be given. Jesus had to give up the ghost before the Holy Ghost could come down and be in his people. But he was foretelling it. It was going to happen. He was bringing it forth. He was ushering in that new covenant as he proclaimed it there in his short earthly ministry. And there he was speaking, oh yes, he that believeth me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's speaking of the Holy Ghost, that they that should believe on him would receive. Praise the Lord, that promise. That gift of the Holy Ghost that Peter said on the day of Pentecost. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. Jesus was telling. He was speaking of it as he worked his earthly ministry. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he might abide with you forever. Oh yes, he knew he couldn't stay on this earth forever. His ministry was short, but he wasn't going to leave his people stranded and abandoned. He wasn't going to leave them alone. He was going to come unto them a new and a living way, says even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Oh yes, praise the Lord, his people know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Praise the Lord, what a plan he had. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Oh, praise the Lord, oh yes. And in going down to verse 26 in this 14th chapter of John, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh yes, the operation and the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Father would send in the name of Jesus, teaching us all things that we needed to know, bringing things to our remembrance. Whatever Jesus had said, whatever he had declared. And then he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord, that peace that he gives, that passes all understanding. The peace that the world cannot receive, the peace that the world does not know. The peace that Jesus gives. And he said, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. He knew there was going to be a day of Pentecost. They were going to be in the upper room. They were going to be all together there in one accord. Suddenly, oh, as a mighty rushing wind, that Holy Ghost was going to ascend upon them. Oh yes, there were going to be cloven tongues that would sit upon each and every one of them. All at once they were going to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. oh, praise the Lord. And Peter was going to stand up and say, this is that which the prophet Joel hath declared unto you. Oh, in the latter day I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. That was that which had been said. It was going to come to pass. The Lord knew it. The Lord Jesus knew it. And so it did. And so it came to pass. Going to Hebrews also, the fourth chapter. Samuel was here on Sunday. I just want to point out a couple things here. Verse 7 says, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. Because there was a rest that God is going to pour out upon his people. It said, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Yes, there in the seventh chapter of John, he was speaking of the rest that he was going to pour out upon his people. That living water, the rest that he was going to pour out, the Holy Ghost that he was going to pour out, tells us there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Oh, yes, Isaiah 28. For with stammering lips and another tongue, though I speak unto this people, saying, this is the rest wherewith ye have caused the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Oh, yes, the rest of the refreshing that God had promised his people, that way that they should walk therein. And it tells us in verse 10 in Hebrews 4, for he that is entered into his rest, that rest that the Lord God gives, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Oh, yes, we enter into the rest. We can't give ourselves the Holy Ghost. Oh, no, it has to be the work of God. We give ourselves to the Lord. And he begins to take us as we are. He gets to pour out his spirit upon us. Oh, yes, he takes that ugly tongue of ours. It gets us into so much trouble. So often he takes that unruly member and he begins to use that tongue. Oh, yes, those stammering lips in another tongue. He begins to speak through us. Begins to pour out his spirit. Spirit gives utterance, just as on the day of Pentecost, we rest from our old works. Yes, the Lord begins to work in us. We give him our old man, our old self, our old nature. We give it to him, and he begins to change us. He begins to work in us. He begins to rework us. He begins to make us his own. He begins to make us like unto himself. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what the gift of the Holy Ghost does. That's what it means, enter into his rest. We cease from our own works as God did from his. And let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Oh, yes, old Israel fell in the wilderness because of their unbelief, because of the hardness of their hearts, because they wouldn't listen, because they wouldn't heed, because of their rebellion, their sinful nature, their reluctance to give it to God. They fell in the wilderness, most of them. But praise the Lord made a new and living way. He gave us a new covenant. Oh, a new covenant. Oh, not after the old covenant at all. It was going to be a new and living way that he was going to use to change us, to mold us, to make us. Oh my, to give us hope beyond our own wretched selves. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Though I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Yes, that old covenant was broken. But verse 33 says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Oh, praise the Lord. He made us his sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. We come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. This says in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in verse 34 here in Jeremiah. "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." That's a new covenant. Praise the Lord. We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go to a prophet. We can all know the Lord. We can all be his children. We can all be part of the family of God. We can all be sons and daughters. What a wonderful opportunity. That's the new covenant. That he would write that law in our hearts. It was not as the old covenant written on a piece of stone. But he would put that law in our inward parts so that we would know this is the way, walk in it. When you go to the right hand and when you go to the left, as it says in Isaiah 30. And we can know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful plan it is. What a beautiful plan. I mean, God had foreordained that, you know, he would bring forth this covenant in his blood, put away that old covenant that required the shedding of bulls and goats to take away sin. But he did it once and for all, a finished work of Calvary, so we wouldn't have to go back. Oh, where this is done, there's no more remission. It's been taken care of. It's been finished. It's been completed. And praise the Lord, back here in Ezekiel, verse 27, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Praise the Lord. "And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." And it tells us in verse 29, "I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine among you." In other words, there would be blessings for the children of God. "And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen." No more shame, no more reproach. It says in verse 31, "Then shall you remember your own evil ways, your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations." Oh, yes, what happens when we come to the Lord? If we've really repented, if we've really turned our hearts to the Lord, then we hate sin. We loathe it. We don't want any part of it. You know, that new man begins to live within us as we allow the Lord to work in our hearts. And praise the Lord, he begins to restore. He is the restorer of that which the enemy has taken from us. Oh, that beautiful portion of scripture in Joel, the 2nd chapter, as Joel was prophesying in verse 25, chapter 2, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you." It's going to restore. It's going to restore. It says, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you." and my people shall never be ashamed. Oh, praise the Lord. There's an understanding when we come to the Lord. He begins to restore our lives. And it says, and he shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And yes, Joel began to prophesy here, and it shall come to pass afterward. Yes, as the Lord restores, what would he do? He would pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Oh, yes, your old man shall dream dreams. Your young man shall see visions. And I love this part. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Oh, yes, it's for all that the Lord our God shall call. Not for a special class of people or a special race. It's for all that the Lord our God shall call. It's not for one specific gender. But here it's your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon my servants and upon my handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, what the Lord has done to cleanse us and to purify us, to make us his own. Oh, what a wonderful plan. And praise the Lord, on the day of Pentecost, there's Peter preaching, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And it happened. There, yes, God poured it out in the upper room there on the day of Pentecost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. But as we come to God, oh, the very thought of those old evil ways, oh, make a shudder. And oh boy, it says, you shall remember your own evil ways, your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Oh yes, that realization of how ugly sin is, how unbearable it is, and oh, how gracious the Lord is to forgive us, to take away that sin. Oh, praise the Lord. Micah, the 7th chapter, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou shalt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, praise the Lord. That's taken care of. Those old loathsome things that had been done. Oh, the Lord had great mercy on us. And Zephaniah, the 3rd chapter, verse 13. Oh, it says, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, nor shall an evil tongue be, or excuse me, not shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Oh, the blessings of the Lord for his people. But there's something, when we've been redeemed all at once, that old man, that wretchedness of sin, oh, really hits us. And we don't want to live like we once lived. We don't want to dwell in that sin. Those old ways lose their appeal in our life. You know, those old things that we used to do are no longer a part of our lives as we give it to God. Oh yeah, it begins to change us. You know, all at once we might not want to go to that movie theater. We might not want to go to that dance. We might not want to go to that bar. Tell you what, we might not want to smoke those cigarettes, you know, those old icky bands that people listen to, all those parties that people go to, all that yucky stuff on television, over the internet, all those things that people seem to relish. God begins to change us. He begins to work in our lives so that we don't want to do that. We get to hate sin. We get to loathe it. We don't want anything to do with it. It becomes abominable in our sight because the Lord is working in our life. And I'll tell you what happens. The heathen can tell that we've been changed. We're not the same person anymore. When God begins to reconstruct our lives, we become new creatures, don't we? Behold, all things have changed. All things have passed away. All things have become new. We're changed. We're transformed as the Lord begins to work in our lives. And the heathen can tell, the heathen shall know as we continue here in Ezekiel. Verse 32, not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste, and the desolate, and ruined cities are become fenced, and are inhabited. Yes, there's a restoration, and they begin to know there's the blessings of the Lord. Our changed lives become a reality. And yes, the heathen begin to know. They notice. It says in verse 36, then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Oh, praise the Lord. As he begins to transform us and change us, and bring about that new creature within us. The heathen can tell. They can see it. They will know that the Lord is in us. And it says, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as a holy flock, as a flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The heathen shall be known. They shall know as, oh yes, Psalms 46, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh yes, the heathen will know. They will know, they can see, they can tell. There's a transformation. Oh, yes, when those desolate places suddenly begin to bloom and blossom, and God takes our filthy, unrighteous lives, begins to transform us, make something beautiful out of that which was waste and desolate and barren and unfruitful. Oh, thank the Lord. He begins to work in us. And what a beautiful thing it is. Oh, when God begins to operate in our lives and change us for his name's sake. For his name's sake. You know, he's going to prove himself. He's going to be known. He's going to make his name known regardless of how many there might be that our reproach and our embarrassment. God is going to have a people. He is going to have a people. And I thank God how he changes us. I thank God. I remember years ago, back in the 70s actually, we were in Madison, and we had this strange invitation to go to a commune down in the university area there. And it was really something. The fellow that had invited us to come, he was just scheming, actually. He was going to have a lot of fun, he thought. He also invited some JWs, some Jehovah's Witnesses, to come too. I think he wanted to see some fireworks. And this fellow, his name was Clayton, actually. And, so we went down there in good faith, and you know, we had some opportunities to, talk to the people. It was quite a set of people. There was this old fellow named Simon, and he was pretentious. He thought he pretended he was Christian, and we found out later he was nothing like a Christian. In reality, he's a painter, and his paintings weren't any too nice, come to find out. But, anyway, we were there ministering a little bit, and the door bell rang, and then there was somebody else's door, and it was a couple of Jehovah Witnesses, and this Clayton had invited them too. Wanted to see what would happen. Well, I'll tell you what, they didn't stay too long, because we tried to get them to pray with us, and they wouldn't pray with us. So they ended up leaving. I guess the fireworks didn't go too well. But anyway, it was quite interesting, and quite the people there. But there was this young woman here. Her name was Barb, and we spoke with her, and I said this and that, and I don't even remember what exactly. And we spoke to the folks in general who were all there. They did listen, and actually we opened up the scripture and all. And after a couple hours or so, we left. Didn't really know exactly what had happened or all of this, but down the road, just a few weeks later, get a telephone call, and it was this Barb who had sat there, this young woman, and God had worked in her heart. And she said, "Can you please come? Can you come to my house?" She says, I just got to get right with God." She said, "I just got to repent. I just realized that there's things that are really wrong. And could you come? So yes, lo and behold, Pastor and I went to her home, her apartment at this time. She wasn't at the commune at this time. And we began to minister to her. I'll tell you what, God had already worked in her heart. It was an amazing thing. She was looking at stuff and saying, "Is this right? Do I need to get rid of this?" She had a whole collection of records and all that sort of thing. And she was asking us, "Should I get rid of this? Should I get rid of that? Do I need to change the way I dress? Do I need to get some skirts?" And God began to work in her. God had already worked in her, And just throwing out, the booze and getting rid of cigarettes and just everything she could think of. And it was like, we didn't even hardly have to tell her anything. God had already worked in her heart. He had worked in her heart, and it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. We didn't know why God had taken us to that commune. Really, we didn't know at the moment. But there was a girl there, a young woman there that the Lord could touch. And praise the Lord, He did, yes. She was baptized in Jesus' name after she repented and she received the Holy Ghost. God changed that woman. God changed her. Oh, God talks to our lives. I love how He takes us. We don't have anything to give Him. Our old wretched past, our old nature, and people might feel good in their sin. But I'll tell you, when the Lord starts to reveal to us how ugly it is, how despicable, how abominable, and how it separates us from Him. When we get to see it and realize how horrendous it is to live in sin. Oh yes, we begin to loathe it. We begin to despise it. We begin to hate it. Praise the Lord. He begins to take our lives and change us. What a wonderful thing it is. What a wonderful opportunity it is. And praise the Lord, after that, we can be cleansed. The waters of baptism. We can go down in those waters in the name of Jesus Christ and put on Christ after that. We can become a new creature in Christ. Praise the Lord. And that promise of the Holy Ghost is very much there. Oh yes, and yes, those times when people come up out of the water speaking in other tongues. Yes, amen. It happens, doesn't it? It can happen. It will happen. Otherwise, that promise is there, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, also in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Oh, just to read a few verses here. Again, it's talking about that return. Verse 42 says, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings, wherein ye have been defiled. And ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought you for my name's sake," for my name's sake, "not according to your wicked ways, not according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God." Oh, praise the Lord, that realization when we see ourselves, that wretched sin, the goodness of the Lord bringing us to repentance. Oh, yes, and revealing himself to us so that we know that he is the Lord and that he has worked in us, that he has wrought a work in us for his name's sake, that we might be his own peculiar treasure, that we might be his sons and daughters, that we might be a holy nation. Oh, praise the Lord, a chosen generation. All those wonderful things that God has given to his people. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And it's beautiful because not only does he change us, but he makes it known so that the heathen round about us, they shall know. They shall know that I am the Lord that have built the ruined places in that plant that was desolate. Oh, praise the Lord, that's the Lord restoring us. Oh, yes, that which the locust had eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the locust, or in the palmer worm, that great army that God had initially allowed to overwhelm, to overtake. But praise the Lord restores us. Oh, yes, and oh, praise the Lord, he brings it to our mind that we can come to him. That hold of sin loses its grip, and we become new creatures in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, as 2 Corinthians declares, verse 17 in chapter 5, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The work of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What he does in our hearts. And to pour out of his spirit upon us. Putting that new spirit within us. Taking away that old stony heart. That stony heart that couldn't hear. That rejected. That wasn't moldable in the sight of God, and it couldn't be shapen by the hand of God, but takes that and puts a heart of flesh within us so that we can be his sons and daughters and his spirit can dwell in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for what you've done, that you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Oh, God, you made us, O Lord, your own peculiar treasure, a chosen generation, Lord, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. O God, a peculiar people that should show forth your praises. O you who has called us out of darkness and into thy marvelous light. O we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. O God, work in us, O Lord God, work in us, Lord. I pray that you would pour out of your spirit, Lord, that you pour conviction, Lord, that you talk to hearts. Oh God, and that you get us ready, Lord, to live in the way that you'd have us to live. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, there's a song in the songbook that we probably haven't sung for 15, 20 years. I kind of remember how it goes, I think. It just seems like it would be appropriate to sing it tonight, so we're going to give it a try. Number 7 in the hymnal, Let the Holy Ghost Come In.
Every doubt and fear, make the consecration.